there. Welcome to the Happiness Between Tales podcast. Do you love writing, great fiction, culture, fine art, and compassion? I mean, truly love them. I'm Dahl, and I sure do. That's why I produce Happiness Between Tales, to foster creativity and understanding. As an Emmy Award-winning former journalist, join me on my learning to write and publish fiction journey. Wherever you find your podcasts, hit subscribe. That way you'll never miss a single completely free episode of Happiness Between Tales. While you're getting Happiness Between Tales delivered automatically, help keep it going by giving it a like, 5 stars, and a comment. And tell your friends so they too can enjoy Tale Wags and the making of tales. Check out happinessbetweentales.com for more information. And now, kick back and enjoy this episode of Happiness Between Tales.
Language and labeling and gender and pronouns. Authors can be extra picky about language, as I am with the novels I'm working on. Any serious writer knows there's more to communication than vocabulary and grammar. Language is about how people think. Civil rights movements in the United States really took flight in the 60s and 70s, and labels played a major role in creating positive change. When Gloria Steinem named her feminist magazine Ms., many family dinners became hot debates over whether women should use Ms. instead of Miss and Mrs. Then came arguments over switching mailman to postal carrier and stewardess to flight attendant. The next slog was weeding out racial slurs. To this day, there are people who enunciate the phrase political correctness as if they're cussing. For most good ideas, the masses regard those first to propose them as nuts and worse. Eventually, a grudging acceptance sets in. Finally, it's like the entire world acquires amnesia and believes they were born thinking that way. Make no mistake, I am no angel. In my case, I have to slap my forehead at how difficult, long ago, for whatever it's worth, it was for me to transition from something as basic as calling a friend Jim instead of Jimmy when he turned 18. People spend entire careers studying the way people from all parts of the world communicate. Some countries designate genders to everything from rocks to the sky. When my husband speaks English, he occasionally confuses genders because in Iran, where he was born, Farsi doesn't employ words for it. Which gets me meandering into recommending Rick Steves' book, Travel as a Political Act, where he explains how we all need to travel more so we can get our ostrich heads out of the sand. Part of why it can be harder to learn a language when we're older is if we insist that there is only one best way for things like language to operate. From as far back as when I was a kid, I questioned not pronouns, but gender roles. Back then, people sought to inspire me with their ideas about how wonderful it was that only women could bear children and be truly nurturing, but not anything else. From what little me saw and heard, womanhood amounted to life as a vessel and a slave. No, thank you. Later, when I worked as a video documentarian, everyone assumed my male business partner was the boss. Except, that is, when we videotaped at a school for developmentally disabled adults. Wait, tell me again, who are we labeling disabled? Thank you, everyone who works toward changing oppression. That includes anyone who wants to challenge how we think of pronouns. Now Canadian author/blogger Suzanne Craig-Whitock, who goes by she and her, is here to discuss pronouns from the standpoint of someone who is smart and funny, as well as who earned an honors BA in English language and literature, and who worked as an English teacher for almost 25 years. You'll find another guest blog she did at the Happiness Between Tales blog site. Check out her writing and her books at her site by going to educationalmentorship.com. Let's Talk About Pronouns by Suzanne Craig-Whitock. Words are letters strung together to make sounds and are used to identify something. Seems very straightforward, doesn't it? Yet, it's always astonishing to me how upset people get about certain words, especially the ones in the English language that are literally the shortest words we have. Yes, I'm talking about pronouns. So what exactly is a pronoun? Grammatically speaking, a pronoun is a word that replaces a noun, for example, I, he, she, we, they, and it. There are plenty of others depending on the case, like possessive pronouns such as mine, yours, his, hers, and theirs, you get the idea. But why all the consternation about pronouns? I mean, there are some people who get outraged if you tell them your pronouns, or lose their minds if a person chooses to go by they instead of the binary he or she. And if someone decides to change their pronouns, all hell might break loose. Notice that I use the plural determiner there for the singular someone in the previous sentence, and that's just fine. In fact, the use of the singular they can be found in the English language as early as the year 1375. But why do some folks get so up in arms about how other people choose their own pronouns? It's personally baffling to me. I have a degree in English language and literature and I taught high school English for almost 25 years, but I never got my knickers in a knot about pronouns. If you tell me you're he, that's what I call you. If it's she, fine by me. They? Absolutely not an issue. Unfortunately, not everyone is as accepting, and maybe that's just born out of a lack of understanding. So as someone with a certain expertise in English grammar, I'm happy to answer your questions about pronouns. 1. Why are pronouns so important to some people? I never even think about mine. Exactly. You don't have to think about yours, because you've never questioned or struggled with your own identity. But other people's lives aren't as simple, and the pronouns they ultimately choose, whether it's he, she, or they, help them validate themselves to the world. 2. But boys are he and girls are she, and that's all there is to it. If a person doesn't use he or she, how will we all know what sex the person is? 1. What difference does it make to you? Why are you so worried about other people's genitals? Because that's how sex is assigned at birth, by someone doing a visual check and making an announcement about it. 2. Birth assigned sex is not binary. Sure, there's male and female, but there's also intersex. And if you're that fixated on knowing someone's sexual identity based on binary pronouns, it's a good job you don't speak Finnish or Chinese, because neither of those languages, and quite a few others, have gendered pronouns. 3. But people shouldn't be able to just change their pronouns, should they? Of course, they should. And if you're having trouble with the concept, consider this example: you find a caterpillar in your backyard. Hey, little caterpillar, you say, and that's what you call it all summer. But when the caterpillar emerges from its cocoon and it's transformed into a butterfly, do you still call it a caterpillar? Of course not. It's the same with people. If a person has made a transition from one gender to another, why wouldn't they change their pronouns to match their new identity and why wouldn't you respect that? And if they decide that they're somewhere in between the two genders, they can use the non-binary they. It's fine, even the Oxford English Dictionary says so. 4. Non-binary? But there are only two genders and you can't switch the one you were born with. Sorry, wrong. Gender is a very fluid spectrum and there are many places along it. Also, gender is a social construct. Most of our ideas about gender and gender expression are based on current social behaviors and attitudes, and those are also fluid. For example, in the 1700s, men wore wigs, ruffles, face powder, and high heels. It was considered appropriate for their gender. In the Victorian period, if a woman wore pants, it was scandalous, but I'm currently sitting here typing this while wearing jeans and no one even bats an eye. And the whole idea that only girls can wear pink? That's an eccentric, late 20th century fad. Colors are part of another spectrum, one of light that our eyes perceive, and they have no gender. In fact, it was perfectly normal for men to wear pink right up until the 1940s. Everything changes over time, and the way we use language in terms of gender is no different. 5. But language never changes. The English we speak now is the English people have always spoken, right? If you really believe that, then I have only one thing to say. Nu silen hergen hefan rises war. Matuts meek dientis majadank. Oh, you don't understand what I said? But it's English, in fact, it's from one of the earliest known English poems, called Caedmon's Hymn. Wait, let me try again. One that April with his shores soot. The drought of March hath pursed to the root. Still having trouble? But that's from Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales, written in the 14th century. In English. See, the English that you speak now has changed a lot. Did you also know that there used to be more than one word for you? If you were speaking to or about one person you knew quite well, you referred to them as thou or thee depending on the grammatical case. If you were speaking or referring to a group of people or someone you weren't as familiar with, you used you. But around the end of the 1600s, using two different ways to refer to someone started to fall out of favor, and by the 1800s, no one used thou, thee and all its other derivatives anymore. And I'm sure there was a small faction of people back then who were just as incensed. How will we ever be able to distinguish between a single person we know and a crowd of people we don't? It's outrageous. Well, we all got over it. And now there's only one word for you, which simplifies things. And speaking of simple, here's the simple truth. If you're bothered by someone putting pronouns in their bio, or you refuse to accept it when someone you know has requested that you refer to them as he instead of she, or they instead of he, or you get irrationally upset that someone you don't even know has transitioned from one gender to another, the problem is thou, not them. What's your pronoun? Record your experiences, thoughts, and questions on my podcast page at Anchor by Spotify or email me at happinessbetweentails.com, where you'll find a photo of Suzanne and a links for related topics, including Suzanne's website at educationalmentorship.com. Like what you heard? Your support at buymeacoffee.com/supportHBT would be much appreciated.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Dahl for Happiness Between Tales. Send me your thoughts, questions, and suggestions through happinessbetweentails.com, where you can find out more about the show and me. To get Happiness Between Tales delivered automatically, be sure to subscribe. You'll help the show thrive by liking it, rating it 5 stars, commenting, and telling your friends to check it out. See you at the next episode for more tale wags and the making of tales.